But folks, I'll tell you right now, we need to recognize when we walk by sight and not by faith, you will always be discouraged. When you walk by what you see, you will always be discouraged. That's the lesson we're going to see here today, that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we allow God to fill us in and help us understand from His viewpoint.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, the title of today's message is, How Can We Endure When Discouragement Hits? And I would just venture a guess that there are some people listening today who are really hoping you're going to give us an answer to that question.
You know, Dave, there is hope for those who are battling discouragement today, because God's Word indeed gives us the answer to that question. And we will see it today from our text in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Are you wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus? That's the way it should be. How will you respond? Will you listen? Will you fear? Will you obey the Lord? So with that in mind, we have this body here, the remnant of people and the leaders who are obeying the Lord. And now we come to chapter 2, and I find this very interesting that they're going to get discouraged, it appears, and God is gracious to encourage them. Look in chapter 2. Let's read through verses 1 to 3 to start with. On the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Doesn't it seem like nothing? You see, what we're going to see is that a little less than a month has gone by. They are obeying the Lord, and 3 or so weeks have gone by, and all of a sudden, God, through Haggai, brings another message to them. And he asks them, who here saw the temple in its former glory? Does it look to you like nothing in comparison? You know, God is gracious here. Earlier in chapter 1, he confronted them, didn't he? He said, why are you about your houses when you should be about mine? It lays in ruins. He confronts them. Here, he is very gracious. They're about his business. And he comes along graciously to say, oh, who saw this way? And he's going to talk to them through Haggai. Again, on the 21st of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Again, the word of the Lord came through Haggai, the word of the Lord. God is speaking to them. God is, as we're going to see, encouraging them. And folks, it's God's analysis that matters. You know, we can try to analyze, and we do analyze our lives, but we are not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we are to acknowledge Him, and He will make our path straight. We're not to trust in mankind. We're not to trust in our own judgment. We need God's judgment. And they're following the Lord, and God was gracious to bring His Word to them. And now we as believers, we have His Word, and it is up to us to allow His Word to work on our hearts. You're not going to be lying in bed and God is going to say, Thus says the Lord through so-and-so, unless you're reading the Word. And so, yes, God was gracious to come alongside them at the right time. But the way He comes along us at the right time is through listening to the Word of God, being in it, allowing your heart to be sensitive to what God says. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. And Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. That's what we call him. Not too successful, by the way, from a human standpoint. No converts, basically. He was faithful to God, faithful to the Word, faithful to his calling. And we see that in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, the Lord shares through him Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Cursed. You trust in man. You trust in your own flesh. You trust in yourself. You're cursed. And he says here, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see prosperity when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste places in the wilderness, a land of salt and without inhabitant. Blessed, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. It's not simply trusting in him, it's trusting him. You trust in the Lord. And he says that for he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Proverbs 28:28, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. We want to trust in the Lord. We want his word to be that which works through our hearts. The word of God revealing where we're at. And God is coming here to reveal again. And what he says, look in verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Well, it was 520 BC, and now God asks the question, who among them has seen Solomon's temple in its former glory? And that was a glorious place. Read through 1 Kings. Look at the building of that temple. You'll see it was a glorious place. Who is left among you? Now, there were not too many old-timers left who had seen the temple in its former glory, but there were some. And these probably were small children or teens at that time when the first temple was destroyed in 586, here 66 years earlier. And we have a response, actually, 16 years earlier. When they first built the foundation, there was an interesting response from the people. Turn to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. This is 16 years earlier when they first came out of Babylon. They rebuilt the foundation when they never finished the work, but now they're getting back to it. Ezra chapter 3 is a very interesting thing here. Ezra 3 verse 10. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Notice that? Everyone seems pretty happy. Wonderful situation. Then notice, yet many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers, the households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy and the sound of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the shout sound was heard far away. You've got a scene where the old timers back when they built the temple, they're looking at it going, they're crying. It is nothing like what God had done through David preparing and then Solomon building it. It was nothing. And the new generation is praising the Lord, but then everyone there kind of set it aside, as we saw. So back in our passage, we have the Lord, through Haggai, coming along to, I believe, address what's the cause of their discouragement, as we're going to see. As he says, does it seem like nothing in comparison? Who among you saw the first one, God says? Does this right here, that they're finally working on, they're being obedient with, seem like nothing in comparison? Does it seem like nothing? And evidently, those who had desired to obey had become discouraged. Possibly the barrage of comparison with the old temple. We have that. And folks, we do that, don't we? Now it appears to be valid on the surface to be discouraged. God had built a beautiful temple before. God did it. God did it through Solomon, and now they're obeying him, and it doesn't look too good. It's not even, it's nothing, nothing in comparison. But folks, I'll tell you right now, we need to recognize when we walk by sight and not by faith, you will always be discouraged. When you walk by what you see, you will always be discouraged. And that's the lesson we're going to see here today, that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we allow God to fill us in and help us understand from his viewpoint. You see, there was nothing wrong with Solomon's temple. It was a wonderful temple. But there was nothing wrong with the temple that they had begun to build here again. It was God's work, even though it did not appear like anything in comparison. Like anything. You know, folks, we can get tripped up this way. We compare God's work with us now, what he did with others. We look at a church. Look at God's work through this ministry back then. Oh, for the good old days, whatever it might be. We look at what's he doing through us now. Maybe not another. It's nothing in comparison. Folks, we need to be careful, as we're going to see. Isn't this what happens to believers who want to follow the Lord? We make the decision to do what is right, and then we start to compare in relationship to other believers who have followed the Lord, and God did things through them. God did stuff through them, did amazing things, and yet it doesn't seem like what we're doing is anything in comparison at all. Isn't that tempting? One pastor writes, "Don't stop the work because it doesn't compare it with something that was there in the past." This is one of the problems with God's people. We're always looking back to the past. We say, oh, for the days of so-and-so, oh, for the days from the church that we came from. We did it then, and we have these longings for those things that God did in the past. But what about today? What is he doing today? Folks, besides our sinful comparison at times we're tempted to do, there will also be others, maybe like these old men saying, you know, tempt us. This is nothing. The work that's going on is nothing like this. It's nothing in comparison. It's nothing. Maybe they were weeping like they were 16 years ago when everybody was praising God for the work, and they were weeping over it because of what they had seen in the past. This is the trap that we can fall into when we walk by sight and not by faith. You know, there's been times throughout the times we've been at this church, people say, if you're preaching the word, God's going to grow it. And I always go, whoa, in my heart. He might not. It's up to him. There's no guarantee for what God will do. We just need to be about his work and be faithful to it and trust him. Because if we get our eyes off of that onto what we see, we will be discouraged. Another pastor writes, does it sound like anything in your experience? I think anyone who has ever undertaken the work of God for the cause of Christ has felt this type of discouragement. The sense that your work and the product seems so paltry. You pour into week after week, month after month, and the fruit is so minimal. Then you look back in history across town, you see the grand achievements of others, and your temple seems so trivial, and you get discouraged, and you are tempted to quit. Well, I believe they were discouraged, and God's going to encourage them. He's going to encourage them. And we see that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, what are some factors that can cause us to be discouraged? Now, we've seen this already. One, obviously, doubt concerning what God has said. We saw comparison already. You compare things, you're going to be discouraged. Because there's always something better somewhere, right? We should not be comparing. We should be focused on Jesus. But also, if we doubt what God has said, we can become discouraged. Now, I'm going to look at these verses a little more in depth when we go through, but I want to show you that what God says to them really counteracts where they were tempted. Look in verse 4. But now, take courage. Take courage. The implication is they were losing courage. They were not courageous. Maybe doubting, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. Maybe they're doubting. Maybe the Lord's not in this. These guys saying it's nothing like the temple they had before. Maybe he's not in it. What am I doing? Take courage. He says, I am with you. I am with you. And when we're about his will, by his strength, no matter what the results are, he is with us. And notice, I believe they were tempted to fear also. That can also lead to discouragement. Look at verse 5. As for the promise I made, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. The implication is they were discouraged, they were not courageous, and they were fearing. They were fearing. God has to say, do not fear. You know, God is a gracious God. Because we know the fear of man brings a snare. When we fear what people think, we get a hook in our mouth and we are pulled away so quickly. And good people might say, you know, these are not the bad guys here saying, look at how nice it was back then. These are people that left also following the Lord. These are the elderly ones. The trip probably was more difficult for them to come. And they're following the Lord. Sometimes it's well-meaning believers that can say things that cause us to pull our eyes off of what Christ is doing. We are not to fear, and we're to be, as we will see, courageous. We are not to fear. Isaiah chapter 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God, the Lord says. He says, I will strengthen you. Surely I'll behold you with my righteous right hand. But when we walk by sight, we will always be discouraged. Don't fear. Trust in the Lord. And then lastly, we see a lack of understanding of God's plan can actually cause us to be discouraged. When we don't know the big picture, or we are ignoring the big picture that God has placed, we can be discouraged when the things we do not seem to be as glorious and grand as maybe other things God is doing in other places. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. I'm going to shake the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Something really big is going to happen that you can't even imagine. Notice he begins that person with a four. He says earlier, don't be afraid, don't fear, for I'm doing something that is way bigger than what you ever thought is going on with this paltry house you are building right now in obedience to my word. So certainly comparison, I believe, is the main issue here. What does it look like in comparison? Isn't it nothing? But also doubt, fear, lack of understanding can be contributing factors to being discouraged when you want to follow and obey the Lord. So then, what's the first step in overcoming discouragement? Let God reveal the cause. Let God's word bathe your heart so that you see things rightly, that you see them from His perspective, that you don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith. Now, do you want to be a discouraged servant of the Lord? Just don't open your Bible. You'll be discouraged. Start looking at everything around you. You will be discouraged. If you want to be encouraged, trust the Lord. He is with us when we are about His business, and we should not fear. So how can we endure? First of all, let God reveal the reason why we're discouraged. Hey, we're comparing, whatever it might be. Okay, Lord, I shouldn't be doing that. I should have my eyes on you. What should I do now? Notice we need to let Him encourage us. Verse 4, but now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. But now, there's a contrast there. In light of the discouragement, it seems like nothing in comparison. Nothing. Take courage. Take courage. And he says it three times. Take courage. The term courage here speaks of strength, becoming strong, being courageous, growing firm, resolute. It's the opposite of being cowardly and fearful. Take courage. You could almost translate it, be strong. Be strong. Now the context is faith. Be strong. You know, it's interesting. He commands three times and he says, declares the Lord, or says the Lord, but it's the exact same thing. You can translate it, declares the Lord, three times. And one says the Lord, but it's the same phrase. Take courage, declares the Lord. Take courage, declares the Lord. Take courage, declares the Lord. Be strong. Now certainly, this might bring up a memory for them. These are the ones who are following the Lord. These are the ones who have the law. These are the ones who know what happened when Moses led the Israelites out. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. This is Moses encouraging the Israelites to be about God's business and not be fearful of those in the land. God's going to take care of it if they trust him. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Then Moses called Joshua. This is another Joshua. This is Joshua the son of Nun, who led them into the promised land. And in the sight of all Israel, he said, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with the people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then a little farther in verse 23, then he commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. I'll be with you. Be strong and courageous because God is with you. And back in our passage, no matter what it looks like, be strong and courageous because God is with you. You remember what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1? Turn to Joshua chapter 1. You know, God's servants, the ones who really are following him, need to be reminded that we need to be strong and courageous because God is with us. We need to not let God's word depart from our thoughts. Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people the possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So you shall be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the people to do what God had said.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the closing moments of today's broadcast, review for us the key points from today's message.
Well, Dave, as we've seen, discouragement comes when we compare ourselves with others. We also learned that there are several other factors that lead to discouragement, such as doubt, fear, a lack of understanding of God's word. That will also bring discouragement. And interestingly enough, all of these issues are symptoms of a life that is being lived, practically speaking, apart from Christ. When we go for days or weeks without reading or meditating God's word, then we will begin to doubt God, and we will become fearful of the future and others. And all of this comes because we lack a true understanding which comes from the word of God. So then, how do we combat discouragement when it hits? First of all, we need to realize when our focus is off, we've sinned. We need to confess it. Secondly, we need to get back in the Word of God and allow God's Word to renew our minds so that we will see things rightly. And then the God of all comfort will encourage us through His Word. As Paul shares in Romans 15:4, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Stay in the Word. Trust the Lord to bring you through. He will not let you down.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.